Okay, today's shiur is Baba Basra Kuf Lamed Beis. Kuf Lamed Beis, and again, it's sponsored. Was the Ilui Nishmas Yosef Rafal Ben Isar. Yosef Rafal Ben Isar, the Ilui Nishmaso, as we continue our discussion. So we just had the last couple of lines on Kuf Lamed Aleph Amed Beis. Kuf Lamed Aleph Amed Beis. Yeah, the discussion, if I give somebody a gift. If I give somebody gives his wife a gift, if somebody gives his oldest son a gift or his youngest son a gift, when do we assume that the gift is really a gift? That's 98% of the time you give somebody a gift is a gift. Sometimes though, Chazal said, based on umdana, based on estimations of what we think, it's not a gift that was given, but it was instead the receiver of the gift is really being made in apotropis, meaning it's being made a guardian of the children in order to take care of the nechasim. So that is what we assume in certain cases. So that applies. Shmuel says, if you give all the nechasim to one's wife, if you give it to the oldest son, to the youngest son is a shaila. Now he said it even applies to the youngest son. And then the question was, what about different special cases? What about ishto nesu, ishto grusha, ishto arusa, and other cases. But whenever apotropis comes up, it's going to come up again, it's coming up, we're in this sugya, it's always important to discuss the seemingly machlokas rishonim, how to view apotropis. How to view an apotropis. Tosas and Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Mem Beis quotes a machlokas, a double machlokas about apotropis. Actually, a triple machlokas. Tosas says, She'ein Shaya Goral. By apotropis, do you have a goral? Do you, let's say, people are, an apotropis wants to give out, portions. So could he do it by lots? Could apotropis, if he wants to split it up for children, could he do it by lots? Or what about Shumas Bezdin? Do you need an estimation by Bezdin to see if each of the properties are equal? Or is it automatic? Apotropis could do what he wants even without an exact Shumas Bezdin. Or, regarding good or agud, right? We had back on Daf Yud Gimel. Could apotropis say, you take this and he'll take this, and you take this and he'll take this? Right? It's all similar, but that's a triple machlokas in Tosfos and Kiddushin or Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Machlokas, all three, whether it's allowed or whether it's not allowed. And the way the Achronim explain what these three issues are about, is as follows. Do we say, as we said at the end of Shir yesterday, is an apotropis, as we just said, kipshuto, it is a representative, it is somebody who takes care of the nechasim, it is a guardian, it watches over the nechasim for the children, or is it something more than a guardian, is what we would call an agent. Somebody who acts on behalf of the children, and really stands in their shoes. And it's not that they are acting just for the children, but they are acting on behalf of the children. So this is a major discussion. It comes up, maybe that's what's behind all these three issues in Tosfos. Right? One might say that if it's a real agent, then you don't need a Shumas Bezdin, because we could sell something without a Shumas Bezdin if I'm the real person. Or we could do good or agud if I'm the real person. Maybe if you're an agent and not a if you're a guardian and not an agent, so then you would say you wouldn't be able to do it. But again, this comes up in a number of places. The Mordechai there in Kiddushin quotes a machlokas rishonim between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. How many apotropsos are there? Is there one per family, like Rov Rishonim say? Or do you need one apotropos per child? There's one day in the Rishonim. Rashi and Gittin Daf Lamed Daled quotes this, that you need one per child. So why would you need one per child? Just have one person taking care of the property. So you might say, oh, it's all about, you know, each child will get a better deal if they have one person working for them. No, but it might be lundus-wise, an apotropis is a stand-in for each person. So if they're a stand-in, so they have to be one per child. They're a real agent. Mashakin, according to Tosfos, according to Rabbeinu Tam, one for the whole group because they're just a guardian, and therefore you can have one that guards, that's the guardian on behalf of a number of others. The Rashba has two important deos as well. The Rashba, there in Kiddushin, on Daf Mem Aleph Mabez, it's also the Rashba quotes this in Gittin. The Gemara there says that an apotropis is excluded from taking off Meiser in Truma. Hafresh is Truma, Hafresh is a Meiser, the apotropis cannot do. A tembelo apotropsin, that's what the Gemara says. You can take off Meiser, but not an apotropis. What about a Shliach? So the Gemara also talks about that. So the Rashba has two opinions, has two deos, whether that's a Lima de Araisa or a Lima de Rabbanan. Is an apotropis excluded on a Daraisa level? Daraisa, an apotropis cannot take off. Yesh lefarish, the drasha gemurahi. Says the Rashba, it's a drasha gemura. It's a real drasha daraisa. V'yesh lefarish the lav drasha gemura he lapu trapin. The yadon kiyad yisomim v'tarminu ma'asrin dvar Torah. The lo karina be torim she'enu shalo. This is not called Torim Sheinu Shalo. This is Torim Shalo. Because the Apuchapin are Yad Yisomim. So again, two deis. What's it about? So again, according to the first day, it's a real Leva Daraisa. Because the Apuchapin is just a guardian. And a guardian is not the person themselves, and therefore they can't take off Truma. Masha'en Ked, if you say an Apuchapin is a real standard for the children, so then it is only a Limud Dirabana. The Ritva has a lashon there in Gittin, where he's talking about the status of an apotropis. The Ritva says, actually the Ritva is here in Kiddushin, he says, how does an apotropis work? So his lashon is, lav lameima. He's commenting on the Gemara there, which seems to contrast. The Gemara has three stages. How the Yerushas Haaretz took place. The Nisiyim on behalf of the rest of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara has different opinions. It has the opinion of they did it through Zechia. And then the very next one says they did it through being an Aputrapis. So says the Ritva in Kiddushin. Lav lameima she'in aputrapis meidin zechia to halo efshar. Aputrapsis is not a totally new category that is not a form of zechia. Ela vadai meidin zechiahu. It is a form of zechia. Ela shehirviach hakasav bezechia zu yoser mischia da alma. It's what we would call super zechia. An apotropis can be zocha for yisomim, even more than a regular person can be zocha on behalf of another. So again, why? Because they are a real strong representative. De ba'alma ein zechia ela b'schus gomer she'im bocho v'klalo b'tchilas alo b'sofo. Regular zechia zachim la'adam shalom afanav. So that can only take place by a full zechia without any negative aspects to it. Aval hacha, but when it comes to apotropis, there is more flexibility. It could be a chov, even if it's a temporary chov, if it has amanas lazakos, it could work because apotropis. But it's what we would call super zechia. That's what apotropis is. So that might mean that zechia sometimes might be representative, a guardian of a person's assets. Mashenkin, when it comes to apotropsis, so then it could be that you're more of a actual stand-in. Okay, we'll stop here, but again, this is the sugya of apotropsis. A lot more to talk about. What about ger katan? How does that work according to some Rishonim through apotropsis? But maybe we'll get back to this soon. So, back to the Gemara. So I think we finished Chof Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So we just spoke about that when it comes, the last machlokas that we just had, let's keep it in mind because it's going to come up again on today's daf. If a person gives all the zechasim to his wife, she's an apotropis. Oldest son, apotropis, because he wants to give her the coven. He wants the other children to give her coven. If a younger son, also, even muto ba'arisa, the Gemara says. What about ishto arusa, ishto grusha? So we say in both those cases, they are considered presents according to everybody. They are not considered apotropsis, because the person does not have the same relationship with his ishto arusa and ishto gerusha. In both those cases, we assume there was a real kinyan. There was a real kinyan when it comes to, according to Rabbi Avira, Mishmei Derava, there's a real kinyan, except for Isha Eitzel Ha'achin and Isha Eitzel B'nei Habal. And Ravina Mishmei Derava, in the first opinion, says they are all kone, except for Ishto Arusa and Ishto Grusa. In that case, they are apotropsis. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Ba'i Rava. Rava asks, Bibari Heich. What happens if in the same question that we're dealing with, a man gives all his nechasim to his wife, and we usually said that's considered apotropis. What happens if he does not do that b'shchiv mira when he is on his deathbed, but he does that earlier when he's healthy? Bibari. So what is the halacha there? Do we say b'shchiv mira hu de nichale? Only by shchiv mira it's nichale for his wife to be an apotropis. Dilish tamun mila, because he wants her word to be listened to. He wants his children to give kavod to the mother and to the wife. So therefore, that's why it works by a shchiv mira. Avo babari hakayiu. By babari, he's alive. He does not think that anything's going to happen. He's alive. So if he's alive, then because of him, they will honor the wife. not because Yair doesn't need to do this, and therefore by a bari, we should assume that he's not doing it to give her the covenant and make her an aputrapis, but he's doing it because he really wants to give her a present. So do we say that? O Dilma, or do we say no? Bari nami, nichale de l'shtaman mila mehashta. Or do we say no? He wants them to get used to the idea, and therefore he will give her the property now to be an aputrapis so that the covenant will start even during his lifetime. Right? Similar to what Rashi says later on in the Torah in Sefer Bamidbar, that Moshe Rabbeinu gave certain powers and authority to Yeshua ben Nun while he was still alive, because he wanted them to get used to it, to be able to give the covenant to Yeshua already, so here too. So this is the question, does it apply by Bari? There is a machlokas here, the Rashbam says this applies also, the same Shaila as we were just dealing with, even if he gives her all the nechasim. Even if he gives her all the nechasim, we have this Shaila. That's the question. The Ran here says no, he does not think. He quotes the opinion of the Rashbam, he quotes Pirish Rash, and then he quotes, V'acherim kasvu no. T'b'chiyah gavna. If a person gives all of his nechasim to his wife while he's a Bari, that's not a Shaila. Pshita dekai kinyan gamur. That's for sure kani. Why should we think otherwise? The person's a healthy guy, he gives all his possessions to his wife. Of course, that's kona kinyan gamur. Elabaya de Rava, only on question of Rava, is bekosiv nechasiv mehayom ula achar misa. It's only mehayom ula achar misa. Meaning, it's not a regular present. Kosiv nechasiv, we're trying to figure out what the umdada is. No, it's only mehayom ula achar misa. That type of present is the only shayla here. That's the question. But, is there an answer to this question? We're about to try to answer it, but it's going to end up being a baya delo ifshita. It's going to be an unanswered question. So the question is, let's already talk about it now, Lamaisa, what do we paskin? The Gemara is going to try to break a raya, but what do we paskin? So it's an interesting machlokes, usually machlokes are just, okay, what do we paskin? Is it aputrapis? Is it kinyan? So what would you say here? It's a baya delo ifshita, so we don't know. So what do you say? What's the usual rule? You have a safik by dini maminis. Right? So the muchzak keeps the money. Who's the muchzak here? Who's the muchzak? The safik is whether this woman who received it is an aputrapis or is a real makabel matana. So who is the muchzak? It's a hard one to paskin. It's not a usual case of who is the muchzak. So if you look in the Rif and you look in the Rif and the Rambam both paskin. Where's my Rambam here? I don't know if I brought it. The Rambam and the Rif paskin, that it is goes to her as an aputrapis. Because the Yarshim are considered the Muchzakim. They're the ones that are supposed to get the properties. And because they're supposed to get the properties, the woman, being a Mekabel Matana, is being Motzi Mechavero. She's considered the Motzi, and therefore, B'makam Safek, it goes to the woman, it goes to the children, HaMotzi Mechalav Araya. She is only an aputrapis. And that is also the Shita of the Rush. That also the Shita of the Rush. But if you look in the Ritva and you look in the Ritva and the Ran say no. Who's the Muslik here? The woman got it. She's holding it. The question is now, is it going to go to the Yarshim? So this says the Ritva, I'll read it from the Ritva. The Ran also says, Aviyesha Omrim, Kelmakabli Matana, Lahavi, I'm sorry, this is the first he quotes the other day, Kelmakabli Matana, Lahavi Raya, Shamatana Gamurahi, Kihem Ba'im Lahotzim Yara Yarshim. First day, that's the Rambam, that's the Rif, that the woman has to bring a Raya, even though she physically has it, but Muchzakis is not determined by who physically has it now, but who is supposed to get it. And the Yarshim are supposed to get it, and therefore she has to bring the Raya. She is the Motzi. But then Vali Nira says the Ritva, I think Kedivriya Omer, Tekiva Shishlem Shtar Matanastam, Hare He Muchzakim Matanasam, Viala Yarshim Lavi Raya, Shalonis Kavin Elalaputrapis. Kivat Shalom is Barer B'Talmud. The Gemara doesn't say anything. They have a shtar that says that they got a matana. They're a mochzak. They have the shtar. It should be theirs. So you shouldn't assume that the people who get it are the motziim. There is a stira in the Rush, because the Rush here paskins like the Rambam and the Rif. The Rush says that really the Yarshim get it and the Makabel Matan is considered a Motzi. What does that mean? What is the underlying Svara of that Rush, of that Shita? And that is, we have the Umdana that really Again, let me just get it. The Rush holds that it goes, they're considered only an aputrapis, not a koni kinyan gamur. So we're, even though the shtar says shtar matana, we consider it an umdina. We go behind the scenes in the person's minds, and we assume that this is what they really wanted. They wanted aputrapis, they didn't want to be kona it, be makna it to the wife. As a kinyan gomer. That's the sheet of the Rush. The Rush Paschal is like the Riff and the Rambam. The problem is, Reb Shmuel Rozovsky points out, that in other contexts, the Rush does not say, you go by umdana. It's considered a dvarim shebelev, as we're going to talk about soon. So why specifically here, does the Rush Paschal, like the Riff and the Rambam, that even though you have a shtar matan in front of you, you say, you're omei, the person's das, oh, it must be, he doesn't mean this. Mashenkin, in other contexts, he quotes that, you know, you don't go by umdana. Can umdana be mevatel amaisa or not? Here the Rush is saying an umdana can be mevatel amaisa. In other contexts, an umdana is not mevatel amaisa. So says Reb Shmuel, it's based on exos. It's based on exos. Because usually, what do we, and exos says this in Simin Reish Nun. He says, and it makes a lot of sense. When do we say that an umdana cannot be mevatel amaisa? When an action took place and you're not sure about a tnai. You're not sure about what a person meant about a t'nai. So then we say, hey, the action is the action. You have a suffix about the t'nai, whether the t'nai should break up the act. So mishum suffix, we don't break up the act. That is most cases of umdanas, and that's where the Rush says that an umdana cannot be bevatel l'maisa. Bishuv t'kaimelon dvarim shebelev edem dvarim, I'm reading l'ksos, v'hada mahani umdin daite, shahaya lazeh ha-tnai, afagav dilo pireish, hayna mishuv t'kiva de umdana kach, havile dvarim shebelev kalada de mahani. When do we say that an umdana helps by a tnai? If it's clear. We're going to have cases in the Gemara, Bezim, in a few minutes, where everybody could know, it's obvious that you want this tonight. Right? We're going to see a case where somebody says, I'm selling my house because I'm making aliyah. And then they end up not making aliyah. So then it could be that, because they didn't make the tonight, explicitly, it still is going to work. But v'im kain, hainu dafka, that's only by an umdana, that's clear. But by an umdana, that's misafek. So then we say, it's not going to break it up. Why? Because the t'nai is, the maisa is strong, and the t'nai is under question. So we throw out the t'nai and the maisa works. But here, explains Reb Shmuel, here, the suffix is not about a t'nai, it's about the actual maisa. What did he mean by the maisa? Did he want to give it to the woman as a kinyan, or did he want to just make her an aputrapis? Where you have a suffix about the maisa, so then it's an umdana about the act itself. So then, we might say that the umdana breaks up the maisa. Shirak ba umdana shehi begeder t'nai. Shemeachar t'nai hu dabar chitzoni l'maisa. Harisha maisa nas al kopanim. Vu nechshav siba vadai l'ma sheyachol mikocho. V'yesh dabar chitzoni sheyachol levatel oso. Zeh t'nai. And therefore, if the t'nai is mesupik, you don't say it ruins it. Ma she'enkim benidon kam. But over here, says Reb Shmuel, sheho umdana mesapekes et etzem ha'maisa. V'yenkan siba vadois l'matana. We don't even know if the action took place, so therefore we could say that the umdana works and it breaks it up, and she is an aputrapis and she is not a mekabel matana. So that's an important point, that this umdana might be different than other umdanas. It's an umdana about the act itself. Okay, so that is an unanswered question, and we just said that is why it's a machlokas in regarding psak, what we hold. So Tashma, but either way, let's try to prove it, even though we know the answer already, that it's not going to be a total proof. Tashma. So again, the question is, if somebody gives a present, somebody, let's say the regular case, Hakosi Kol Nechasav, that's what the pashtus is. Somebody gives all his nechasim to his wife, is she an aputrapis even while he is a bari, if he gives the present when he's a bari, or only shchimira, because we assume this is all about giving your kavod la'achar misa, so when is it? So tashma, we get into the sugya of, if a baal gives a wife a certain amount of properties, when is it called an automatic mechila of the rest of her ksuba, and when not? That's what this amud talks about. Tashma, hakosi peiros nechasav le'ishto, if a man gives fruit, peiros nechasav, to his wife, govuk suvasim in a karka. So then she's still allowed to accept her ksuba. Her accepting fruit means nothing about, oh, I'm accepting fruit in lieu of the ksuba. Right? If he divorces her in a week from now, we don't assume that, oh, she was mocheles her ksuba. She got fruit. She still wants to collect from karka. Lemechsa leshlish vilervia. If he gives her a certain percentage of the of the of her property, of his property, Govik Svasim and Ashar. That again, he still gets collect. We assume this is a present. He gets to collect the ksuba. She gets to collect her ksuba from the rest of her properties. Why do you give me this present now? Because you like me. But that's also kasav kol nechasav leishto. What about this case? Says the Braisa. If a man gives all his nechasim to his wife, viyatsa alav shtarchov, and then a shtarchov goes out on the husband, a shtarchov that predates the matana. It predates the matana, so the Baal Chov is going to come along and say, hey, you husband, you aren't allowed to give this to your wife, so I'm taking it up, I'm taking it. But it's from after the marriage. So the woman's ksuba, his chayvus, came first. So if the ksuba is still in effect, is still intact, then what? Then the wife is going to be able to say, she's going to keep it. She's going to say, tough luck on you. So what? You're Baal Chov, you're his chayvus, is before my makabal matana, but I get the ksubas even beforehand. But if she doesn't go by the ksuba, if she goes by the matana, then she loses. So what's the halacha in this case? The husband gave all of the property, kol nechasav, to his wife, and now shtarchov, machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, tikra matanasa v'tamad al ksubasa. You rip up the shtar matana and stand on her ksuba, meaning in a figurative sense. Meaning the wife could say, hey, I'm not interested, you're coming now, so forget my matana. Go back to Meikar Adin. Go back to the ksuba. I was never mochelis my ksuba by accepting all of this property. So therefore, tough luck on you. I'm allowed to accept. I'm allowed to go based on the ksuba. The chachamim omrim, the chachamim say no. Tikra ksubasa v'tamora b'hatanasa. No, no, no. The ksuba gets ripped up, figuratively, meaning we assume that if she got all the property of her husband, she is now mocheles on her ksuba. V'tamora b'hatanasa, and you go by the shamatana, and she loses. Because the shamatana post-dated the Baal Chov, v'nim says karachas b'kada mikan. And it comes out that she is bald from this side and from that side, meaning she loses. She loses. That is the machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachamim. The Rashbam points out that it's not literally tikra ksubasa, it's just tikra ksubasa from any property that the husband had at the moment of the shtar matana. If the husband gets new property afterwards, she could definitely collect the ksuba from that. Right? That's what we say in the ksuba, de kanoi u de asra ani lemikne. Right? It applies to any property that comes during the marriage. V'yamar Rabbi Yehuda, and just the Braisa continues and says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda hanachtom, Rabbi Yehuda the baker, Maisa v'ira hadavar bevasa chosikala, there was a story that happened with my daughter of my sister who is my daughter-in-law. How does that work? Right? His son married his sister's son. The first cousins married each other. Right, the bas achosi kala, the daughter of my sister, who is my daughter-in-law, uba ma'isel v'chachamim, and the chachamim said, in such a case, v'yamru tikra ksubasa v'tamana batanasa v'nipsis karachas b'kana b'kan. Meaning, the story happened, and they paskin like the chachamim. They paskin like chachamim. But what do you see from this whole brisa? Why are we quoting this here? Says the Gemara now. Taima de yatsa lav shtarchov. The only reason that the woman's going to lose all of this is because the shtarchov went out on her, and therefore she might have to give it up. Halo yatsa lav shtarchov. But if there would be no shtarchov of the husband, kanya, then the woman would be keeping all of the property that was given to her. But wait a minute. Ubamai, what type of case are we talking about? Ilema b'shchiv mirab. If we're talking about a case of shchiv mirab, that's where the husband gave all the possessions to the wife. But what do you mean? Shmuel just said, v'amelo asel apotropis. If it's a kosev kol nechasov, then it's apotropis, therefore it's not a kenyan. Elo la b'bari. So it must be in this case of bari. And what do you see from here? That by a bari, it's not apotropis, it's a real kenyan. Raya to our question. So the Gemara answers, no raya. Liolam b'shchiv mirab. Really, it's talking about a case of shchimira. Ah, it's a shchimira. But didn't Shmuel say on the previous amud that if you give all the chasim to your wife, you're an apotropis? No. V'rabbi Avira mukila b'kulhu, Ravina mukila b'ishto arusa v'ishto grusa. Remember, we had some exceptions in the bottom of the previous amud. So stick those exceptions into this case. When it says ishto, it means the types of cases of wives that are not kona'eh. That, like the case, like according to Rava, it's a case of Ishto Arus and Ishto Grusha, and according to Ravina, it's other cases. Stick those cases in, but we are talking about a case of Shchiv Mirah, so no Rayas either way. Period. Good. So what do we, two points on this Bryson. Number one, what do we paskin? What do we paskin in this case? So we do paskin that, like the Chachamim, that she loses. She loses because when she gets all of her, all of the property, she has all the property of the husband. So she's basically saying, thank you very much, don't worry about my ksuba anymore. See if the Baal Chos is going to be able to take it away. But the Ritva says, if it's clear to the Beis Din that the husband is just playing games, he wants to get out of his ksuba obligation. So he's going to give her all the property, but he knows the Baal Chos is going to come and collect it tomorrow. If the Beis Din knows that he's playing games, that the Beis Din has a right to deal with it properly and not to go based on the regular rules. Says the Ritva, O Taya Omer B'Shem Rabbeinu Agadol. Right? He quotes Rabbeinu Agadol, who that's usually the Ramban. Right, the Ritva, when he quotes it, the Rabbeinu Agadol is the Ramban, and that's his grand rabbi. His rabbi was the Rashba and the Ra'ah, his grand rabbi was the Ramban. So says the, he quotes the Prashem Rabbeinu Agadol, the im hukar hadavar sheherim vihivriach bimiskavein kedela hafsida lo ibdaksubasa. If it's clear that he was just doing it to be mavriach lenechasin, to get the nechasin away from his wife, then she did not lose it. To anansadi, because it's clear. Ki ilu yada ki derech sina hu osela afsid lo shalom machla. Because she wouldn't be mochelas in this case. It's obvious. She'ein ze mana yikara. This isn't, look at this lashon. This isn't a precious jewel, a precious portion that the husband is giving the wife because he loves her so much. Elo, what is it? Graf shel rei. This is a graf shel rei. What's a graf shel rei? Graf shel rei is in Hilchos Shabbos. Literally, a graf shel rei is something that you go to the bathroom into. But a graf shel rei on Shabbos is the halachic principle in Muksa, that you're allowed to move a graf shel rei, even though something usually doesn't have any purpose on Shabbos. But if it's graf shel rei, if it's something disgusting in the middle of your room, you're allowed to move it after you change a dirty diaper. Dirty diaper sitting there in the living room, sitting there in the bedroom. Why are you allowed to move that on Shabbos? Why is it in Muksa? Graf shel rei. But why are you, it's Muksa. Right? The answer is graf shel rei. There's a heter of graf shel rei, something disgusting, you're allowed to put it outside. What about the garbage? The garbage in your kitchen gets full. Why are you allowed to move it out to the garbage can outside? So number one, because there are also food items in the garbage. So it's buses, ladavar, asul, ladavar, amutter. So therefore, it's not really muksa. But number two, even if it's all garbage, it's all bones and peels and everything, you still allowed to move it out. Just gotta make sure not to tie it up, because that's the malach of kosher. Can't tie it up into a regular knot. But why are you allowed to move it? Graf shel rei. Because I need this, but it's disgusting. It's sitting here in my kitchen. I need to get it out. Right? So therefore, that's what he says here. It's not a mana yakra. It's graf shel rei. It's something disgusting. So therefore, meaning it's obvious that the Baal is being marim. V'chein nirin advarim be'emes. And what does he quote? V'hakol kefima she'eni hadayin roos. It's whatever the dayan sees in front of him. Yesterday's daf. Ein l'dayin el ma'ashein of roos. That principle comes up over and over again. That's the Ritva. And that is, by the way, what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, they quote this din that we pass like she loses her ksuba, but the Shulchan Aruch quotes this Ritva. Quotes the Ritva that if the... What? What does he paskin about the early machlok in the case of Suffolk? I'm not sure what we paskin in the case of Suffolk, but in this case where we know it's Vadai, where the guy is playing games, the Shulchan Aruch says in Kuf Zayin, where is it? Yesh Misha Omer, Shem Huver Adavar Sheherim Ibiskavik Tila Sida, Lo Ibdak Subasa. She doesn't lose it. And the Gra says right there, De Mechilasa Humishim Kavit Sha'asula, Kamasha Kazavarash Bam, Mashaikim, Bekia Gabna Mechila Bitausu. It would be Bitaus, because even if she didn't realize that the husband was playing games, the Beis Din realizes it, and therefore, she is not Mochelis. Good. Just by the way, also, it's interesting, what is the story quoted? The story from Rabbi Yehuda HaNachtom. Why do we have to know that he was a baker? Why does the Gemara tell us he was a baker? Just say Rabbi Yehuda. What, it's just differentiating between Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and this Rabbi Yehuda. He's called Rabbi Yehuda HaNachtom. Or maybe he's emphasizing to us the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah. That all the Amoraim, they all had physical, mundane jobs. They all had mundane jobs, but they were all made it their business to devote their lives to Talmud Torah. Says the Rambam, Kol Ish B'Yisrael and Hilchos Talmud Torah, Chai B'Talmud Torah, every Jew is Chayit. Bein Ani, Bein Asher, whether he's poor or rich, Bein Shalom B'Gufon, Bein Bal Yisurin, whether he's healthy or not, Bein Bacher, Bein Shai Yizakin Gadosh, Shadash Kocha, whether he's young, whether he's old, Afilu Ani HaMachazer Al-Apsachim, Afilu Bal Yishu Banim. Somebody's a lot of kids. Har Chayiv L'Kvol Ozman L'Talmud Torah Bayom U'Balayla. To be set aside a time by day and by night. And the Rambam quotes, "Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael, hayu mehem chotvei etzim u mehem shoavei mayim." They were wood shoppers and water schleppers. Umehem sumin viaval pikein hayu oskin ba Torah by yom ba laila vehem michlal matiki shmua ish be ish be Moshe Rabbeinu. You gotta make a living. That's also a mitzvah. Gotta make a living. Gotta put, right, it says, Rav Palm says many times, what does it say in the Ksuba? The Ksuba does not say that the wife will support the husband. It doesn't say that in the Ksuba. That's Lufnimishuris Adin. It says in the Ksuba that the husband will support the wife. It's the husband's job. It's the husband's achrais. So, that is position. That's what the Amoram did. The Amoram all went out and made a parnasa, and that's right here, he was a baker. Weiter. Amar of Yosef Bar Min Yomeh, Amar of Nachman, as I like to say, even though we're still on Amud Aleph, I do a lot of Amud Beis at the beginning of every daf. The whole apotropos is on Amud Beis. It's just at the middle of Amud Beis, you know, the next cycle, by the way, let's spend time in the middle of Amud Beis, because the top and the bottom get pressed, but just not the middle. Amar of Yosef Bar Min Yomeh, Amar of Nachman, Halacha, Tikrak Subasa V'tamana Batanasa, the Halacha is that we pass on like the Chachabim, that the Shtar Matana, the Nivtis Karachas, Mikan, Umikan. She loses, but again, as we said, she can collect from anything the husband gets afterwards. Lameimer de Lazar of Nachman Basar Umdana. Is this to say that Rav Nachman, who's paskening that she gets, she loses, because you say it's Matana, you don't go after Umdana? You don't go after Umdana? Because what would be the Umdana? The Umdana would be that, I'm not Mochel, I want my Ksuba. But what do you see from this sheet that the Rav Nachman says? It must be, you don't go after Umdana. She got a Shtar Matana, period. Is that true? V'hatanya, harishaholach b'no l'mdina zayam. A man has a son who goes out to sea. V'shama shameis b'no rachmano l'tzlad. He hears that his son dies. And what happens? V'amad v'kasav kol nechasav l'acherim. He gets up and gives away all his property. He gives away, I have no more son. So he gives away all his property, but he doesn't make it conditional explicitly on the fact that his son died. He just hears about it and he gives away all his property. V'yakav babino and baruch Hashem, his son walks in. What's the halacha? Matanasa matana. The Tanakama holds. It's a good matana. Tough luck. Why? He didn't make it conditional, so the son loses. Reb Shimon ben Asi Omer, no. We paskin. Ain't matanasa matana. No. His matana is not a matana. Why? Shilo haya yodeya shivno kayam lo kasvan. Of course he could. He wouldn't have written this if his son was. If he would have known that his son would still be alive, he wouldn't have given it away. He wouldn't have written it. 2 days in the Ritva, in the Meiri. I'm sorry. Did he have to give it away immediately when he heard about it, or did he give it a couple of weeks later? The Meiri assumes even a couple of weeks later. You know, people need time to digest information. You know, think about what he's going to do. So even if it's a few weeks later, we could still assume that it's based on the fact that he heard that his son died. And the Amar Rav Nachman, halacha k'shemim Manasya. And Rav Nachman says the halacha is like k'shemim Manasya. Right? So you see Rav Nachman does go by Umdana. He does go by Umdana. So how could he say that in the earlier case that the woman loses her ksuba? What do you mean the Umdana would be that she doesn't want to lose her ksuba? Answers the Gemara, no. Shiny Hassam, in the case of the woman, is different. Why? Because the Umdana is different. We assume she's happy to get the in now and lose her ksuba. Why? The nihalate, the tefak ala kala, the kasvinu nihala lahanu nechasim. She's happy that everybody hears that her husband loves her and gives her all this property. So she wants it right now. Did you hear what does a woman do when she gets a present? Right? What does she do? She shows it to all her friends. Oh, look what my husband got me. Look at this. Look at that. She's very proud. She loves it. She wants to show off her, not in a bad way. Right? It's wonderful. What does the Rambam talk about in Hilchos Tshuva? When we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't stop talking about him. That's the ultimate. The Rambam compares it to a husband and a wife. Right? When do you love him? When you can't stop talking. You know what my wife did for me? Do you know what? Right, you can't stop talking. So that's his case. She's happy right now. So the Umdana is right now. Period. What happens in the case of the son? The father gave away the nechasim, and the son comes and is alive. Does the guy who got it in the interim have to pay back for what he ate off of the field in the interim? Does he have to give back the peiros for what he ate in the interim? Says the Rambam. What is the Rambam Hilchos Chiya? Where's my Rambam? Oh. The Rambam says, "Ein hamakabo matana machzir perish achal." He does not have to give back the nechasim. Why not? It wasn't his. We assume umdana he wouldn't have wanted to give it. So why ask the Lecha Mishnah in Hilchos Zechiya Vav Yud Gimel? Why the Rambam? There's no Gemara about this. Why did the Rambam say this? Right. So the Lecha Mishnah says, "Oh no." The Rambam doesn't really mean it in our case. He only means it in a case where the shtar was true and then broken. But if it's like in our case, says the Lecha Mishnah, Avalahid Shimon Manasya, that he thinks the Beno is not alive, Vadai, Matana Betosu Vaperis Chosros. right? Definitely you have to pay back. That's what the Lech HaMishnah said, but the others argue. The question is, why would you argue? Why, how can you say that the payros do not go back? So the answer is, it could be that the umtana is that at the time it was a good Kenyan. And he was happy to give it to him until he knew his son. Does he care that his son didn't get the fruit in the interim? No. He just cares that he doesn't want the guy to have it forever. He likes this makabo matana. So it could be that even the fruit in between, even in this case, is going to be kept. The Aruch HaShulchan says the same thing would apply if a guy, and this is a discussion in the Achronim, but the Aruch HaShulchan says it explicitly. What happens if Reuven doesn't have children? And he gives away all his property, and then he's blessed with a son. Is it the same halacha? Is it the same halacha as the son goes out and he thinks he dies? Is it the same thing? So says the Aruch HaShulchan. Same thing. Even though it's not exactly the same thing, it's enough the same thing. Anan Sadi, we know that he wouldn't have wanted to give it if he knew that he would be blessed with a son. Other Achronim are not so clear. They say this is a Davar Shel Olam. He's not here yet. It's totally not on his mind. But that's the Aruch HaShulchan's exception. Aruch HaShulchan Simon. Reish Mem Vav. Reish Mem Vav Vav. That is the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, let's continue. Tanan Hasam. Says the Mishnah, fourth to last line. Says the Mishnah in Meseches Peah. Hakosim Nechasev Labanav. More than once we're talking about the wife losing the ksuba in certain cases, so we talk about the following. Hakosim Nechasev Labanav. If somebody gives his property to his children, Vikasav Leishto Karka Kol Shehu. If he gives his wife any amount of karka, Ibda Ksubasa. That's it. The Tanakhama holds any amount of karka that the wife accepts and does not say, but wait a minute, you still owe me the ksuba. If she doesn't say anything, so then this is in lieu of the ksuba. Mishum, the kasa la karka kol shehu, the ksuba sa? What are you talking about? Because she got a little property, she loses her ksuba? So three opinions. Amar Rav b'mezaka lahen al yada. Opinion number one, no, it's talking about a case where she helped out in the kinyan. The husband is giving the kids all the property, and she says, here, use my handkerchief. Meaning she gives from her own, so she shows that she's very happy that the property is going to the children. Or Shmuel Amar, so she has to actively be involved, according to Rav. Shmuel says no, less than that. Shmuel Amar b'machalik l'fanav isho sakas. Even if she's just standing there and she doesn't say a word, that's also good enough. That's an implicit mechila. Rav Yosi bar Chanina Amar ba'omer la tli ker kazu miksubaseich. No, it's where he said to her, take this karka in lieu of your ksuba. Even if she's not there. Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina says the Rashbam is the most makel in terms of losing her ksuba. Look at the second to last line. Afila lo ha'isa sham, v'lo chalak b'fanel. She did, she's not there. Ela sh'omar sh'loshen zeh k'shakasav la. Ha'hu karka kalshu. When he wrote her this little bit, he wrote, take this karka b'ksuba seich. And even if she's not there, vade she's mocheles. And the Rashbam says, achron, achron makel. He's the most makel. She doesn't have to be involved. She doesn't have to be there. These are the three opinions that she loses her ksuba. Umikule ksuba shanu kan. And says the Gemara, these are all kulas by ksuba. Why? The Rashbam explains, by a regular bal chov, this does not apply. Only by a ksuba, because, as the Gemara says elsewhere, tav lemesav tandum lemetav armalo, a woman is just happy to be married. Even if she loses certain financial privileges. So therefore, these halachas do not apply to a regular balchov, only by Iksuba. Period. Tanan, Rabbi Yossi Omer, but the second line of that Mishnah, in Peah, Rabbi Yossi argues, Rabbi Yossi said, and based on Rabbi Yossi's opinion, we're going to argue on the interpretations that we just had of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi says, im kibla ale, if she accepted it, if she accepted to lose her Iksuba, aval pishalo kasavla, even though he didn't write it, ivda ksubasa. She loses it. Michlal, if that's what Rabbi Yossi says, so what's Rabbi Yossi's lashon? If she accepted it, even if she didn't write it. So what's mashma from the Tanakhama? Behold, the Tanakhama savar, ksiva v'kabala boy. Sounds like the Tanakhama requires both. He has to write it, then she has to accept it, and then the Rabbi Yossi says, no, even without writing it. Just accepting it is enough. So that's a problem on the previous opinions who said there does not have to be acceptance. She could just give her handkerchief, she could just stand there. So that's a kasha. V'chitema kula Rabbi Yossi. And if you want to say, really, the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, it's like a chesirim echsera. The whole Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi shita. V'yatanya, it doesn't work. Because we have a brisa, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yehuda is explaining the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama. Ema saisha haisa sham v'kibla alei. When do we say she's mocheles? When she was there, and she was mekabelas. Aval ha'isa sham v'lo kibla alei. Kibla alei v'lo ha'isa sham lo atiksubasa. But if you're missing one, there and or Kabbalah, it does not work. So you see the Tanna Kamma does not require ksiva. So we're back to the problem of all of those interpretations that we just had on the bottom of Amud Aleph of the Tanna Kamma. Tiyufta de kulu tiyufta. So you're right, we're stuck. It's a kasha on all of them because, again, what's the kasha? Because from Rabbi Yossi, we realize that the Tanna Kamma holds you need Kabbalah and ksiva. And none of those opinions say that it is good enough. That it is good enough that you do need ksiva and Kabbalah. You just need her to stand there or to participate, etc. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, Harav Hashmuel, Harav Yosef Rechanina, Mar Maisvir Lei. Okay, we have the three interpretations of Amud Aleph, but what do you say? Rav Nachman, what do you say? Rav Nachman, who was the Talmud of Shmuel. Keep that in mind. So Amar Leiz, Rav Nachman answers, this is what I say. Shaini Omer, Kivin Sha'asa'a Shutaf Bein Abanim, Ivta Ksubasa. No, because she's a Shutaf amongst the children, she loses her Ksuba. That's Rav Nachman. Well, she's a Shutaf. So therefore, Ivta Ksubasa. Ask all the Rishonim, what is he talking about? He's giving the same opinion as his Rebbe, as Shmuel. The Mechalik Lefanav Ishosakas. What's Rav Nachman adding? We just tufted the three opinions. And Rav Nachman says, oh no, if she gets a chelek, then she loses her ksuba. Rav Shmuel said that. So what's going on here? How is this opinion different than Shmuel earlier, which we just had a tiyufta on? Is this the fourth opinion? So says the Rabbeinu Hananel in the Rush. No, the difference here is if she's an equal shutaf. It says, kivishasa shutaf, she gets equal portion to the children. That's the chiddush. That's the case where she was mocheles. If she gets an equal portion, says Rabbeinu Hananel in the Rush. Rabbeinu Hananel in the Ran, a different Rabbeinu Hananel in the Ran here, quotes a different Shita. He says, B'chai Gavna, Kivish Asa Shutaf, beforehand she wasn't a Shutaf, beforehand she got a little piece of karka. Didn't say Shutaf. Here the language is Shutaf, she's a real partner. She has owner, she has bailus over a certain area of the property. So once she's a shutaf, that's giving her chashivus. And therefore, she's mochelas. So that's Rabbeinu Hananel in the Ran. Right? Rabbeinu Hananel in the Rush, Rabbeinu Hananel in the Ran, two different ones. And then the Rashbam here quotes a discussion. He quotes his grandfather, he quotes Rashi. He quotes whether Rav Nachman is saying something, maybe just quoting his Rebbe Shmuel, because that was his Rebbe. So he's quoting it even though it just had a tiyufta on it. Okay, either way, that's the Rishonim's discussion. How does Rav Nachman differ than the previous Shitas? It marnami amar of Yosi Bar Min Yomi amar of Nachman kivin chaz hashud ben abanim ivdek subasa. Same thing. Period. Boy Rava bibari heich. Again, we had this question three times, but it's all this different question. What happens in the case of Bari if he gives his wife a little piece of land while he is a Bari, while he's healthy, not a shlemira? Is she also mocheles? Mi amrina? Do we say b'shchiv meira hu diyada deles leva kamachla? Do we say that no? If a woman is quiet when he's a shchiv meira, that's where she's mocheles. Why? Because he's not getting any other property. He's about to die. So that's where if she wants her ksuba, she has to say something. And if she didn't, it must be she's mocheles. That only applies by a shchiv meira. Avo bebari, but if he's healthy, savra hadakani. Maybe by a bari, she's like, okay, honey, you could give it to the kids, but obviously you're going to buy more to give me. So her being quiet when he is a bari doesn't prove that she's mocheles, because she assumes that he's going to buy more stuff. Oh, Dilma, or do we say no? Hashem is less play. Or do we say no? Lamaisa, he doesn't have any. So therefore, we assume that she has to give up the ksuba. Teku. So we don't know. Period. Okay, a couple of stories related. Four stories that are related. We'll do the first one today. Hahuta amar lahu palga labras. Upalga labras. Vitilsa leisas bepere. If somebody gives up his nechasim, he splits it up in half to his two daughters. He gives half of the property of land to the daughters, half to one, half to the other. And then a third of the fruit, the produce, he gives his wife. That's the case. He gives half and half of the property away, and a third of the produce to the wife. Ikla Rav Nachman l'sura. Rav Nachman visited Sura. Ul l'gabe Rav Chisda. Kentu Rav Chisda. Amar l'ki agav namai. What's the din here? Was she mochelas or ksuba if she only was mochelas peros? She wasn't mochelas any karka, right? She was mochelas peros. So Amar le, the Rashbam says, fine, you could say this is part of her ksuba. But what about the rest of it? So Amar Lei Hachi Amar Shmuel Afilu Lo Hikna Lo Dekalach Leperosav Idik Subasa. What do you mean? Didn't Shmuel say that even if he gives her only one shri and the fruits legabe that shri she loses? So Amar Lei. So he answered, no, but that's different. Eimer da Amar Shmuel hasam da'akne legup begufa da'ara. If you give what's called deka leperosav, you're at least giving a piece of karka. You're giving the fruit, but the tree legabe the fruit. Deka leperosav. We use that principle in terms of davar shelo malaolam. If you want to be makne the fruit, you can give the tree legabe its future fruit, because there's something there. But hacha peru, here's all fruit. Here's all fruit. Says she machalos or not? Amalei metaltzli kamit. Oh no, I didn't understand. It's all metaltzlin metaltzli vadilu kamina. Oh, I didn't mean it. You're right. I didn't mean it. When it's by metaltzlin, we assume that a woman is not machalos because her smichas das is really on karka. Again, you have to ask. Does this change bezman hazeh? Because we said a number of times already in the Masechta the Takanas HaGaonim, which the Rishonim quote, the Rambam, Tosfos, others, that many of these collectible cases nowadays we collect from metaltzlin. Even though karka in the olden days was the most secure, but nowadays we collect from karka, so does this change? Because if she accepts the metaltzlin, so you gotta look in the poskim for that. But that is case number one. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Baruch Hashem, case number 2, 3, and 4, we will continue with tomorrow, and we get into the next Mishnah. Amirasa l'gavok, amirasa l'hedyot, right, coming up. And, Shabbos. I'm gonna see some of his eels on Shabbos. Birds burning over his head. Okay, we'll have to maybe allude to it on tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop here. Again, today's shiur was Le'ilui Nishmas, Yosef Rafal ben Iser. Yosef Rafal ben Iser.